This morning, would you read with me Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now, this morning we're going to take up where we left off last week, and we're going back in the first verse and talk about the Apostle Paul and his apostleship and things like that, and then get on into the rest of the verse. If we have time, as time allows, we'll go into the verses. Now, we discussed the fact that the book is written by the Apostle Paul, and that the word Ephesians means desirable ones. Paul wrote the book from the prison that he's in Rome. It's sent to the Ephesians along with Colossians and Philemon. It's sent by Tychicus and others, whoever they might be, Onesimus possibly, who was a slave and had gotten saved after Paul got to Rome. He saw Onesimus, a slave, won him to the Lord, and sent him back to his master, Philemon, along with the letter to Philemon. Paul says that he is an apostle. We talked about the qualifications for an apostle. The word means one sent forth, with a message. The word for apostle is used in other places in the scripture as a messenger. For instance, there are messengers from the churches, but it is never translated as apostle when that is true. It is always as a messenger. In other words, the Holy Spirit, in translating the word, used the word apostle, which is not really a translation in itself. It is more, and I don't know anything about Greek and very little about English, but it is not a full translation of the word apostolo or apostolo. Apo is away from, is separated from, and stella has to do with dispatching something or sending something. In other words, to send it away. And in this particular case, apostle is one sent forth by the Lord with the message of the Lord. Now, the emphasis is upon the message that is carried more than the messenger. And yet, the messenger must be right. There has to be qualifications for the messenger to carry the message. And so we discussed the fact that this messenger must be one who has seen the risen Lord. He must have been chosen and called to the office directed by the Lord. He must be inspired by the Spirit himself. He must be accompanied by the signs of an apostle, and so forth. Then we discuss the sending forth of the 12 in Matthew 10, their new commission after the crucifixion. Then we discuss Matthias and his apostleship, and we found out that Matthias replaced Judas. We use several verses of scripture that bear this out, and there can be no mistake about this. Matthias, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5, is listed. In other words, the 12 are listed after the resurrection of Christ and before the Apostle Paul. In other words, he says he was seen of the 12. Well, certainly he was not seen of Judas after his resurrection. He was not seen of Paul until Paul got saved. He's not listing himself as one of the 12. It's got to be Matthias. And a comparison with Acts 1, 21 through 26, Matthew 19, 28 bears out the fact that this is true. Then we discuss the Apostle Paul. I want you to notice that Paul is an apostle by the will of God. Now, to understand this thing about Paul's apostleship, keep in mind that God Almighty chose the body of Christ. For instance, say that this right here represents the body of Christ. God, before the foundation of the world, chose us in Christ. And according to Romans chapter 8, this was on the basis of his foreknowledge. As many as he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Them that he did predestinate, he did justify. All right, then Jesus Christ justified them on Calvary. Them that he did justify, he did call. Them that he did call, he did glorify. In other words, God then chose the body of Christ. God justified them by offering the sacrifice, which is Jesus Christ. And the means of salvation for these people here is the gospel of Christ. Therefore, God is going to need a messenger to bring the truth to these people here. Let's try some things here. For instance, notice Israel. Go back to Luke chapter 4 and notice the attitude of Israel. Luke chapter 4. All right, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus preaches at Nazareth. He stands up, they give him the book of Isaiah, and he reads from Isaiah about himself. In verse 18, 19, then in verse 20, he begins to talk to them. Now verse 21, he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And keep in mind, this woman that Elijah is sent unto is a Gentile woman. Verse 27. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And in this particular case, Naaman is a Gentile general. He's a general in the army. He's a Gentile. And so what Jesus is saying here, he's saying that according to prophecy, God Almighty in time of need blessed two Gentiles when Israel was in a condition of apostasy. Now verse 28, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, led him under the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong, but he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. In other words, as soon as this man Jesus implied unto them that God Almighty would bless a Gentile above a Jew, they couldn't stand that. It made them so mad, they ran and grabbed him, and they're going to kill him. Then I'm not going to read that, but when Paul goes to Jerusalem, he goes into the temple there, and they found him in the temple. They bring him out, and they're about to kill him. And the Roman soldiers came and got him. He goes upon the temple steps, and he begins to speak unto them. And he tells them that after he got saved, that he had come back to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple. And he said, while I was praying in the temple, the Lord appeared unto me. And he said, they're not going to receive your message here. So get out of here. I'm sending you unto the Gentiles. And at the word Gentile, these Jews began to throw dust in the air, rip their clothes apart, and they said, away with this man. It is not right that this man should live. They want to kill him just because that he would say that God would send him to the Gentiles. My point is, Israel hated the Gentiles. Therefore, if God Almighty is going to wait on Israel to get the message to you Gentiles, it ain't going to get there. Yet, here God Almighty has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. God justified us by the death of Jesus on Calvary. Now, how is he going to get the message to us? Well, let's look at the 12. turn to Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew 15, notice their attitude. Verse 21. Then Jesus went thence, and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, so forth and so on. In other words, the 12's attitude here is proper and right. They said, send the woman away. And Jesus said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But in spite of the fact that he was only sent unto them, a Gentile comes unto him and he doesn't turn her away. In other words, any Gentile that would have come to Jesus with a right attitude at that time would have been blessed by God. And in this particular case, she gets her blessing. She took the position she ought to have. But my emphasis is upon the 12. They never saw that. All they could see was this Gentile dog coming unto them. And she was a pest unto them. They wanted to get rid of her. Now, notice the change. Go to John. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. This is immediately before the crucifixion. Jesus, in the night before the crucifixion, he eats the supper with them. This is during that time, just before he eats the supper. It is just before the upper room. It is before washing their feet. Verse 31. He said, Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. In other words, previous to his death on Calvary, he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But now that he's going to die on Calvary, he'll draw all men unto him. Now, I know that all men in the passage is all men without distinction. It is not all men without exception. If it's all men without exception, then there's no hell. In other words, if Jesus is going to draw all men without exception unto him, then Jesus is lying when he tells about a man going into hell. For a man would not go into hell if Jesus was going to draw all men without exception unto him. So I know it is not all men without exception. It's all men without distinction of race. The word, verse 32, the verse is set in contrast to Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 and 6 along in there, where Jesus said, Go not to the Gentiles, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It is set in contrast to Matthew 15, verse 4 along in there, where he said, I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, as Jesus had not been sent to anybody but Israel, after his crucifixion, he is sent unto all men. Now go to Mark chapter 15. I'm sorry, 16. Mark chapter 16. We're still talking about the 12. In Mark 16, after his resurrection, he appears under the 11, verse 14. Now verse 15, And he said unto them, Go you into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, Jesus said, Go to every creature. He said, If I be lifted up from the earth, signifying what death he'd die, I'll draw all men unto me. Now I know the 12 either misunderstood him, or else he was not sent unto all men in the sense of the Gentiles at that time. For look at Peter. Go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Now in Acts 10, there is a man named Cornelius. Verse 1 through 10, verse 9, 8 rather. He has an angel appear unto him. This man, Cornelius, is a Gentile. He wants to know the truth. And so, verse 9, on the morrow, by the way, the angel tells him to send for Peter, and he'll tell him the things he ought to know. Now verse 9, on the morrow as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of full-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice. The vessel was received up again into heaven. And of course we know that the things on the vessel represent the Gentile nations. The cleansing is represented of the crucifixion on Calvary. In other words, when Jesus Christ died on Calvary, he reconciled all men according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In other words, the reconciliation took place on Calvary. God reckoned the sins of men to Jesus Christ on Calvary and reconcile them unto himself. That is, he cleansed them in a sense that God could draw them unto himself. But those apostles didn't see that. They didn't know that. For Peter at this time still will not go to a Gentile. And I might veer off from my subject for just a second here, but you must understand. The reconciliation that took place on Calvary had to do with the sins of men. God reckoned the sins of men unto Jesus. Therefore, the thing that is keeping a man from salvation today is not his sins. The thing that keeps a man from salvation today is a refusal to believe on Jesus as his Savior. People say, your sins have kept you away from God. That is not so, for the sins of men were laid upon Jesus Christ, and men are reconciled to God by the death of Jesus Christ. And we've been given the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling them, and so forth and so on. No doubt about that. So I'm saying that when the sheet was let down to Peter, that thing, those things that were in that sheet represents humankind. It represents the vile, sinful men there. But Peter said, Nothing common or unclean ever passed through my lips, but nevertheless, he is sent to Cornelius' house. Now verse 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company, or come into one of another nation. But God has showed me that I shall not call any man common, nor unclean. Well then, I know something. I know that from Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Peter didn't find out that God had reconciled all men. I know that when Jesus said, If I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me, it didn't get through to Peter in that message there that he was to go to the Gentiles. I know that in Mark 16, when Jesus said, This gospel shall be preached to every creature, Peter did not know that Cornelius is included in that, and he certainly did not know that idol-worshipping Gentiles as those at Ephesus were included in that. I'm saying unto you that had it been left up unto Israel to bring the message of salvation to the Gentiles, it never would have been brought. Had it been left up to the 12 to bring the message of salvation to the Gentiles, they wouldn't have gotten it. So what happens? God Almighty needs a man, so he chooses a man. This man is the Apostle Paul. Turn, please, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians 1, verse 23, the last part of the verse, he says, I, Paul, am made a minister. Now, verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Well, first I want to find out who is you. Well, Paul, of course, is writing to the Colossians. Go to verse verse 19. It pleased the Father that in him, Jesus, should all fullness dwell. And having made peace, there's the reconciliation of 2 Corinthians 5, through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. In other words, the Colossians then had been reconciled on Calvary. Paul is writing to the Colossians, who since that time have believed on Jesus as their Savior. And he said, I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ. I fill it up, fill up that suffering for the church, which is his body. In other words, then there was some suffering that had to be done after the crucifixion. Now, Paul is not suffering for the sins of the church. Jesus Christ took care of all that. But yet there is still suffering to be done. That suffering has to do with anybody who is going to carry the message out and get it to Gentiles is going to suffer persecution. Paul goes into the synagogue, preaches to Israel, and then turns to the Gentiles, and Israel turns against him. And the further he went to the Gentiles, the more they turned against him, and the more they persecuted him, and the more they forbid him to go unto the Gentiles. He is filling up the sufferings of Jesus Christ for the Gentiles. Can you see it? Look in Luke 4 and think in your minds what happened. Jesus, standing there in front of those people, tells them about some Gentiles that have been blessed of God, and Israel puts the persecution on him. They're going to kill him right then. They take him out, going to throw him headlong over this cliff and kill him. Paul, as Paul goes to the Gentiles, they rebuke him, they persecute him, they do every evil thing against him, they beat him, they stone him and whatever, but they never stopped him. Paul has to suffer for the Gentiles. Now, with that thought in mind, notice that he is chosen before the foundation of the world. Turn, please, to to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. One other passage before you do. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He's number one in a list. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ, might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should afterward hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. In other words, then Paul is to be a pattern of salvation to others. Well, Paul was reconciled to God by the death of his son, and on the road to Damascus, God appeared unto him and saved him there because he already had reconciled him. Therefore, the sins of the Apostle Paul in persecuting the others from the crucifixion over to his salvation did not stand in his way of salvation, for God already had reconciled him by the death of his son. How could God do that? Because God foreknew before the foundation of the world that Paul would believe on him, and having foreknown that, he justified him on Calvary, and on the thing goes. There can be no mistake about it. Now, look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God who hath saved us, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. And he goes on and says, in effect, that he's suffering because of that. Now, back in verse 9 again, reference to God who saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works. It wasn't according to Paul's works, for Paul was persecuting the church. But according to his own purpose, according to God's own purpose and grace, which was given him in Christ Jesus before the world began. In other words, before the world began, that God's purpose and his grace might be made known through the gospel, God chose the Apostle Paul not on the basis of Paul's goodness, works, or whatever, but just because God had a purpose for him and he wanted that purpose made known. Therefore, God chose him before the foundation of the world. In other words, God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, redeemed us on Calvary. God Almighty needed a messenger to show the truth unto us, so he chose the Apostle Paul to be the one to do that. Go please to, there isn't any need. I was going to ask you to go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, but God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Then the second thing, the Apostle Paul was justified by Jesus on Calvary. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. In other words, God chose him before the foundation of the world. God justified him on Calvary. And Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, make it 15. We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, so forth and so on. In other words, Paul then was justified on Calvary. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Just to back up the things that I've already said about this. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Well, of course, that would be the Apostle Paul. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 that he's called according to God's purpose and grace, which is given him in Christ before the foundation of the world. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, Paul, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, his Son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called he justified, whom he justified, them he also glorified. No doubt about this. Paul was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world on the basis of God's purpose that he had for him. Paul was justified by Jesus Christ on Calvary, and then notice his separation. Paul was separated by God at his birth. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. God chose him, God justified him, and God separated him. Galatians chapter 1, we'll start in verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. Now here it is. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, so forth and so on. In other words, God then chose Paul, redeemed Paul, and separated him from his mother's womb. Notice the fact that Paul is prophesied in the scripture on this basis. Go back to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. Verse Now in Isaiah 49, verse 1 through 4 is a reference to the Lord Jesus. Now verse 5. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb, Galatians chapter 1, to be his servant, Paul served the Lord, to bring Jacob again to him. Paul said his ministry was to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Though Israel be not gathered, they didn't believe him. Yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. As in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, God said, I'm made manifest in your weakness. He said, therefore will I glorify in my weakness, for when I'm weak, then he's made strong. Verse 6, and he, the Lord, said, it is a light thing that thou, Paul, shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. And I also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. And there's no doubt about Paul here. Turn to Acts 13. Acts 13, and Paul quotes the passage. Acts 13, verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, a reference to Israel. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, and he quotes Isaiah 49, verse 6, I've set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. No doubt about it. Then God Almighty chose the Apostle Paul before the foundation of the world. God Almighty justified him by Jesus on Calvary. God separated him at birth. And God prophesied in the Old Testament that he would send him forth. And when I see him there, I think about the prophecies of Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus Christ's lineage, his ministry, his time of birth, all that is prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures. Well, God was in Christ as Jesus was in Paul. Therefore, I find that Paul is prophesied in the Old Testament scripture. His birth is prophesied. His salvation is prophesied. And his ministry is prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures. He's called by God's grace through the gospel of God's Son. Go to Galatians chapter 1 again. Galatians chapter 1 and take 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Galatians 1 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Alright, Galatians 1:11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand. Verse 2. By which also you are saved. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Then I know that the Apostle Paul is called by God's grace through the gospel of Christ. Turn to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, the time of the preaching of that gospel to Paul. Acts 26, verse 15. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. I know then that he's called by the Lord. Now he's chosen before the foundation of the world, justified by Jesus on Calvary, separated by God at his birth. He's called by God's grace through the preaching of the gospel of Christ by Jesus himself, and he's sent forth by the Spirit. Go to Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. Now, this is not the calling of the Apostle Paul. This is not, the Lord has already called him. He already knows his ministry before this time. People get the idea that Acts 13 is the beginning of the body of Christ due to the fact that Paul's ministry here, he is sent out in this particular case. But that doesn't mean a thing in the world to me. I understand the truth of the beginning of the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul said that he's first. He is the pattern for them who would thereafter believe on Christ to everlasting life. Well, then I know that Acts chapter 9 is the beginning of the body of Christ with the salvation of the Apostle Paul. But the sending forth of Paul into his ministry is Acts chapter 13. Acts 13 verse 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein do I call them. And when they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, Barnabas and Saul, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia and from and on and on. Then I know that he's sent forth by the Spirit. And then the last thing I want to refer to, he is separated unto the ministry of the Gentiles. Go to Acts 28. Acts 28. Now from Acts chapter 13 until Acts chapter 28, Paul goes to the Jew first, then the Gentile. Jew first, then the Gentile. But in Acts chapter 28, notice verse 28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. In other words, every Jew, Gentile, or whatever, without any distinction of race, creed, color, or whatever that came to Paul, got the message during that period of time. Now that'll match Ephesians chapter 3. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Ephesians 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, then I know that Paul is separated unto a ministry which has to do with the Gentiles without the help of Israel. Then I know Paul is chosen by God before the foundation of the world. He's chosen on the basis of God's purpose that he had for him. That purpose is to bring the truth unto the Gentiles, whom God had chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, justified on Calvary. Now they must get the message. Paul is the man chosen to carry that message. He's justified by Jesus on Calvary. He's separated by God at birth, according to prophecy. He's called by God's grace through the gospel of his Son. He's sent forth by the Spirit, and he's separated under this ministry which has to do with the Gentiles. I know that the 12 are not the apostles to the church, which is the body of Christ. I know that Matthias is one of the 12, not Paul, and Matthias is not sent to the church, which is the body of Christ. Now, 2 other passages, and I'm going to close. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Take Matthew 28 in one hand, and take 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in the other. And no amount of squirming and hassling over the passage will change anything, as I've heard preachers do. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. no doubt about it, God told the 12 to baptize. But that isn't all. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Well, in Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 3, he taught them to keep the law. These two things are very important in distinguishing Paul's ministry from theirs. Number one, they're sent to baptize. Go to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17. Paul said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." And no amount of questions of why did Paul baptize then is going to change anything. The 12 were definitely sent forth to baptize. Paul said, "I was not sent forth to baptize." No mistaking that, but that isn't all. The 12 were told to teach all things that God had commanded them. They were taught the law in Matthew chapter 23, no doubt about it. Now, they're to teach people to keep the law then. Go to Romans chapter 4. Romans 7, verse 4. Romans 7, and notice Paul's attitude about the law. Romans 7, 4, "Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ," so forth and so on. The 12 under the commission were to baptize. Paul was not sent to baptize. The 12 were told to teach those they baptized to do all things that God had commanded them. He commanded them to teach the law to their converts. Paul said, "We are dead to the law." Go to Romans chapter 10. Romans 10, verse 4. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." There can be no mistake about it. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles by the will of God. And as such, he writes to Gentiles, not Greeks, Gentiles at Ephesus. And that is the reason for the book of Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. It's by the will of God. It is not by the choice of anybody else. It is not by Paul's own choosing. It's God that chose him, redeemed him, and sent him forth. Let's take a break here. Take up next week in Ephesians again.